Memorial Care Health System, Excellence in Healthcare, presents Weekly Dose of Wellness. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Hello and welcome to our show. You are listening to Weekly Dose of Wellness, brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. I'm Deborah Howell, and today's guest is Dr. Sinjin Lee. Dr. Lee graduated cum laude from the University of California, Berkeley. He completed his MD degree at Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York, where he graduated AOA with additional distinction for research in cardiology. Dr. Lee went on to satisfy his internship and residency requirements at the Duke Medical Center in Durham, North Carolina. He continued his four-year cardiology fellowship training in both cardiology and electrophysiology at Beth Israel Deaconess, a teaching hospital of Harvard Medical School in Boston. He's board certified in both cardiology and electrophysiology and is now affiliated with Saddleback Memorial Medical Center. Welcome to you, Dr. Lee.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Deborah.
Today we're going to be talking about atrial fibrillation. We hear so much about it, but many of us still don't really have a good idea what it involves. So, in layman's terms, what is atrial fibrillation?
Sure, I'll gladly talk about this topic, which is a very important condition. Atrial fibrillation is essentially refers to abnormal electrical activity inside the heart, which leads to a disorganized electrical activity in the atrium, which is the upper chamber of the heart, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so what would cause that kind of activity?
Unfortunately, we still do not know the actual cause of this. However, we do know that it is usually a condition of aging population. So this is a very common problem, and it is known that by the time you reach the age of 80, approximately 10% of the population have this condition.
Really?
Yeah.
And still really the cause is unknown.
It's unknown. There are many risk factors. Certainly, there are some genetic component to it. And then there are some patients where the risk factors include the usual hypertension, structural heart disease, diabetes. The typical cardiac risk factors are certainly increased risk for developing atrial fibrillation. However, there are even situations where people are extremely healthy, a marathon mm-hmm. runner, for example, who develops this condition at a young age.
Wow. Okay, so this is happening, this electrical activity. What are the symptoms that a patient feels?
To be honest with you, the surprisingly, majority of the patients don't feel this. So this is actually most commonly discovered accidentally if you happen to just go see your doctor, and
wow.
your physician might just note that you have an irregular heart rhythm, for example. Or they may do a very simple test, something called an EKG, mm-hmm. Stands for electrocardiogram, where they accidentally find this, for example, prior to undergoing surgery, for example.
So people are walking around, this is happening in their hearts, they don't know it, a doctor discovers it by accident, and then what happens
I would
next?
I would say that's about half of the patients are, these conditions are discovered by accident. There are patients where they feel irregular heartbeats, palpitations, for example.
Okay.
Or when you're elderly, when the patients are elderly, they tend to feel more of a fatigue or just low energy. And rarely, some patients might just feel dizzy, or they describe it as giddiness, and
okay.
they go to see a doctor, and this is what's discovered.
Yeah. Interesting. So this is different from congenital heart disease.
Very different. Congenital heart disease is a very generic, nonspecific term where you're born with any type of a heart condition that you're born with. Atrial fibrillation is funny in that it's an electrical problem. So if you actually look at the heart initially, that there's nothing wrong with the heart itself.
Mm-hmm.
But and it's electrical, the electrical conduction problem is not something that you can see with your own eyes. However, if you leave this on for a long time, this does eventually lead to enlarged heart and other heart problems, potentially.
That was why my next question is, so why should we be concerned about it?
Sure. So atrial fibrillation by itself is not a life-threatening condition. However, there are two things that are that can lead to a very serious condition. One is a stroke. And second problem is congestive heart failure, which is symptoms that consist of being short of breath, your legs swollen, and not being able to breathe well at all, especially when you're laying down.
Yeah, that would be a concern.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. But does AFib itself put a patient at risk for stroke and heart failure?
It does. Atrial fibrillation, and the reason that being is when you're in atrial fibrillation, because your heart is not having a normal electrical activity, the blood flow going through the heart gets distorted. And what happens is that the chambers inside the heart begin to form clots. And those clots can be sent out of the heart. And the first place that the blood goes out of the heart is to your brain, which is what a stroke is. Okay.
Sure.
In terms of a congestive heart failure, the reason that that can develop is that one of the common findings of atrial fibrillation is that your heart is racing. So you may not be aware of it, but even when you're resting and, you know, just relaxing, when you're in atrial fibrillation, your heart may be racing at 120 beats per minute. Okay.
You know, this happened to my sister. She was, and it happens only when she's driving.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So,
and contrary to belief, these things actually don't happen with activity. They usually happen right after activities or when you're at rest. And your heart is normally supposed to race when you're angry or when you're emotionally upset or exercising. But when you're relaxed, your heart should not be racing that fast.
Right.
And if it's
right.
doing that for a while, your heart eventually tire out and lead to congestive heart failure.
Do you think it might be stress-related, even though a person resting might have, I mean, might be a delayed reaction from earlier
stress?
Sure,
and that is actually a very common response by patients, is that, oh, doc, you know, I think, you know, I'm just going through a lot of stress. We don't believe so. I mean, certainly stress never helps you. Stress certainly increases the risk of heart disease, and certainly it doesn't help in terms of developing anything that's related to cardiac-related conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But stress alone is not the trigger of atrial fibrillation. There are also other common myths about atrial fibrillation trigger, and they include chocolates, caffeine, any of those sorts, and none of them have actually been convincingly shown to be the trigger of atrial fibrillation.
It remains a mystery. Well, I'm sure you guys will figure it out someday.
Right. The only two that we know for sure has an association is alcohol consumption, as well as... Having a condition called sleep apnea, and if untreated, can lead to a higher risk of having atrial fibrillation.
Okay. So now let's talk about prevention.
Sure. Well, because it's a condition that is, first of all, hard to detect, certainly the first thing you can do is avoid two known risk factors. And one is if you drink fairly heavily, I think you should certainly cut that down. That's a common advice from physicians to patients.
And what's your definition of fairly heavily?
So, you know, I would say for men, 1 to 2 drinks a day is fair. And for women, a glass a day is fine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What you cannot do is save it for an entire week and then drink all 7 drinks in a day. That's not
binging,
that's not what you should be doing.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? Okay.
But certainly a small dose of alcoholic beverage is actually has a paradoxical effect of being good for the heart. So it is okay to drink, but you need to eat everything in moderation, obviously.
Right. Go for the red wine, ladies.
Exactly. Yeah. And in terms of a sleep apnea, that is a very common condition. It's almost an epidemic in the United States because of the increasing obesity in the country. And some of the telltale signs of a sleep apnea would be heavy snoring, and especially if you stop breathing in the middle of the night that your partner notices, you should certainly be evaluated for sleep apnea. And have that treated because that will certainly lower your risk of atrial fibrillation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now that we've prevented it, let's also talk about those who have sadly, given into it, and so we need some treatment options.
Sure. So the first thing to say about atrial fibrillation is, unfortunately, there's no perfect cure for this rhythm. Okay. So the way to manage this is, one, because it can lead to a stroke. The most important therapy for atrial fibrillation is that when you're diagnosed with it, you need to be on a blood thinner.
Okay.
Traditionally, you had to be on a medication called warfarin or Coumadin, which a lot of patients don't like taking because it requires you to monitor your blood.
Right.
But for the past 3 years, there have been some alternative blood thinners that came out on the market that does not require blood checks anymore, which makes it a little more convenient for the patients. Okay? The second issue is that because you can develop congestive heart failure, which is due to your heart from racing uncontrollably, usual medications that you're initially placed on are what we call rate control medications. If they're not effective, the cardiologist, usual electrophysiologist, will start you on a medication called antiarrhythmic medications, which are designed to keep you in a normal rhythm.
And are these effective?
Yeah. They are about 50-50. They either work or they don't. The blood thinners are effective. In terms of the rate controlling and the rhythm controlling medications, they're about 50-50. And as a result, if the medicines are not effective, certainly patients also have an option to undergo surgical procedures, sometimes known as ablation, which is what electrophysiologists usually provide.
So I think we need a whole nother show on ablations. That's what I think.
Yes, it does. It's a pretty complex area, and it is an extensive topic, for sure.
Well, we thank you so much. Our time, speaking of racing, has raced, and we really appreciate you finding time to talk to us today about the symptoms, the risk factors, and the treatment of atrial fibrillation.
Thank you for having me, Deborah.
Well, you know, that's what it's about. It's about getting information out to the public. We hope you've enjoyed our show today. It has been a real pleasure to have Dr. Lee with us, Dr. Sinjin Lee. And, of course, you are joining us again next time, and we'll be exploring another weekly dose of wellness. It's all brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. We hope you have a fantastic, healthy, preventive day. I'm Deborah Howell. Have a wonderful one.